Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Exodus chapter 19, we're just going to be reading verses 9 through 11 in a moment. We're starting a new series tonight titled God's Inner Circle. God's Inner Circle. Tonight's message is, how close to God do you really want to be? You know, David cried out in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, as the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? You know, David was a man with a heart after God, and he enjoyed deep intimacy with God. We can see that in the Psalms that he writes. And we see the same desire that David had for the presence of God, that longing, that thirst for the presence of God. We also see it in some of the favorite hymns of the church. For instance, one of the favorite hymns of the last century said, "Just a closer walk with thee, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be." And of course, one of my favorite modern worship choruses expresses that same heart's cry for intimacy with God when, in the words that say, "Draw me close to you, never let me go." And there's that same longing to be close to God, a longing that has been echoed through the centuries all the way back. We see it in David's words, and we see it in contemporary songwriters today. It's the heart's cry of God's people to know God in a deeper and more intimate way. And when we speak about intimacy with God, we're speaking of knowing God through experiencing him, not a mere head knowledge of God. And as we look around us many times in worship or in other arenas, it's indisputably evident that some Christians seem to experience a much closer intimacy with God than others. I mean, some Christians just appear to have such a reverent familiarity with God that is foreign to other believers. And it provokes the question, why? Why do some believers enjoy that close intimacy with God and others don't? Does God play favorites? Or is there something that these people have done to qualify them in some way to know God in such wonderful intimacy? And can we know him that way as well? These are the questions that we want to consider in this series, God's Inner Circle. And as we pursue our soul's longing for God tonight, and I believe that's the reason you're here tonight. Why else would you come out on a Wednesday night if you didn't have a heart that longed for God? Amen. But there's a base. Yes, praise the Lord. Amen. They always say Sunday morning people love church, Wednesday night people love God. Amen. There's some truth to that, I believe. But anyway, as we pursue our soul's longing for God, there's a basic premise that we must start with, and it's simply this. Both the scripture and experience teaches that it is we, not God, who determines how close we are to him. It's we, not God, that determines the depth of intimacy that we enjoy with him. A classic Christian writer, J. Oswald Sanders, said it this way: we are at this moment as close to God as we choose to be. We are at this moment as close to God as we choose to be. And it's true that there are times that our soul longs for a greater intimacy with God, but when it comes right down to it, many times we are not prepared to pay the price to walk in that depth of intimacy with God. For some, the cost is just too high. So we settle for a spiritual level that's less demanding, but also less satisfying. J. Oswald Sanders identified 4 degrees of intimacy with God that are reflected both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the New Testament, these levels of intimacy are seen among Jesus' followers, where he had the multitude and he had the crowd, and then he had the 500 and he had the 120, and then he had his inner circle. And of course, we see this also in the Old Testament. Moses and Israel's experience with God at Mount Sinai serves as a powerful example. Read with me, if you will, Exodus 19. 19 verses 9 through 11, the scripture says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I will come to you in a thick cloud. That's the glory cloud of God's presence. Often when God's glory was manifested, it appeared like a cloud that was filled with light. I will come to you in a thick cloud, Moses, so the people themselves can hear me when I speak to you. Then they will always trust you. Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Then the Lord told Moses, go down and prepare the people for my arrival. Consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing. Be sure they are ready on the third day. For on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai as all the people watch. You know, as we look more closely at the circumstance surrounding this awesome manifestation of God, this encounter with God, it reveals to us four levels of intimacy that are determined by our choice, by our response to God. The first level we see is that many choose to stand far away or in the outer circle because it's easier and it's more comfortable. Some are satisfied with being saved but have no desire to grow closer to God. The Israelites had experienced God's salvation. They had experienced God's mighty deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. And in verse 4 it says, God speaks through Moses saying, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you out to myself. God is describing his great deliverance or salvation on their behalf. And of course, this is a spiritual parallel to our salvation experience. It is God who intervenes. It is God who acts to save us through Jesus and to set us free from the bondage of sin. It is God who draws us unto himself by his Spirit because he wants a relationship with us. He saves us so that we can have a relationship with him. God wants us to walk in greater levels of the manifestation of his voice and his presence. God wants to reveal himself in greater ways to us so that we can know him. Just like God wanted the Israelites to draw near so that they could see the glory cloud of his presence and hear his voice. So God tells Moses to prepare the people because he was about to make himself visibly manifest for all to see, and he would speak for all to hear his voice. Wouldn't that be wonderful? What a great invitation. Amen. But God is a holy God, and to protect the people, he instructed boundaries to be set around the base of the mountain so that the people would not touch the mountain when his presence was being made manifest, because if there was sin in their life, they would be judged and struck dead by God. So they could approach the mountain, but they could not touch or ascend the mountain lest they be struck dead by the holiness of God. And the reason God set those boundaries was because he knew what was in the heart of the people. It's because God knew that they were not holy and that they were not spiritually prepared. In verse 10, it says the children of Israel were instructed to sanctify themselves, for on the third day, the Lord would come down in the sight of all the people. And the internal consecration was to be symbolized by the outward washing of their clothes. The outward washing of their clothes was merely a symbol of the cleansing that was supposed to take place internally in them in order for them to be able to enter into the presence of God. Then there came the magnificent descent of God's presence on the mountain. And you read in verses 16 and following that the presence of God began to descend upon the mountain in a powerful manifestation of thunder and lightning and a thick smoky cloud and a voice that was like a very loud trumpet sound, so that the whole camp of Israel trembled before God's presence. Moses called the people out of the camp to meet with God. Verse 19 says, Moses spoke and God answered him by a voice. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 20, it says, the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. There was that invitation to come up higher. And even though God appeared to all the people, and all the people could see him, they could see this glorious manifestation of his presence, and all the people could hear that thunderous voice, Moses alone was the one that God answered and that God spoke with personally. And in Exodus 24, 2, it says, Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Why? Why this exclusiveness? Why this seeming favoritism toward Moses? But as you read on and you see the subsequent actions of the people and of Moses and the others, it reveals their heart's condition that kept the rest of the people at a distance from God. Where do we see that? If you were to read on, and I encourage you to read the entire chapter at home, but if you were to read on, when the people started to see the awesome manifestation of God on the mountain, the Bible says they backed up and they withdrew to the other side of the valley. They became afraid. Now, God wants us to fear him. That's a reverent, loving awe of him. But God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. But if there's sin in our life, if we know we're not right with God, then guess what? We're going to be afraid of God. Amen? And so the people backed up to the other side of the valley. And you know what they said? They said, Moses, you go up and speak to God and then come back and tell us what he had to say. You know what they were saying? We are satisfied with a secondhand experience of God because we are not willing to pay the price that you are paying to experience God that way. They weren't willing to pay the price of holiness to enter the presence of a holy God. And so they were afraid. And instead of drawing near, they drew away. They went further away. Then, by their choice, they stayed further away. And while Moses is up experiencing the glory of God's presence, they get bored. They're waiting there for 40 days and they get bored and they're like, we don't know what happened to Moses. We don't know if he's coming back. So they urge Aaron, Moses' brother, to take their gold and their jewelry and to melt it down and to make a golden calf. So they called it the same name as the God that was manifesting on the mountain, Yahweh. And then they began to worship in their way with a shouting and dancing and gyration and immorality and perverse ways. They made a God that they could worship the way they wanted to worship because they wouldn't pay the price that God was calling them to pay to worship him and enter into his presence. And all of this shows that they were neither desirous or qualified of coming close to the one true God. There was a fresh revelation of God available to all of them. God had come down visibly in the sight of all of them. God wanted all of them to hear his voice. Exodus 24:7 says, the glory of God was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. And it caused them to fear and to withdraw and stand afar. It was a revelation of the holiness of God. It was a revelation of the fact that sin separates us from God, that sin brings death. It was a revelation of the judgment of God. But that same manifestation of the glory of God and his awesome holiness that drove the children of Israel away drew Moses closer. The people of Israel drew away because they knew they were not holy and they were deserving of God's judgment. They knew that they were not willing to pay the price and they feared the judgment of God because they knew what was in their hearts. But Moses, he wasn't afraid. He feared God, but he wasn't afraid. And he had confidence toward God because he knew the obedience of his heart. He knew that he was willing to pay the price. And so he drew near and he went up right into the midst of that fiery cloud of God's glory while the rest of the children of Israel withdrew. So I ask you, are you among those satisfied to stand at a distance and have a secondhand experience of God so that someone else who has experienced God can come back and tell you this is what God has done, this is what God has said? Or are you like Moses, that you want to draw near, you want to go up higher, and get right in the midst of the glory cloud of God's presence. That's where I want to be, amen. Now some, they don't stand from afar. They draw nearer, but they don't go all the way. And this is the second circle or the second level of intimacy. Read with me, if you will, Exodus chapter 24, 9 through 11. Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel climbed up the mountain. There they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet there seemed to be a surface of brilliant blue lapis, as clear as the sky itself. And though these nobles of Israel gazed upon God, he did not destroy them. In fact, they ate a covenant meal, eating and drinking in his presence. You see, God wants us to come closer. He wants us to press beyond the barrier. Remember the barrier that was at the base of the mountain? These guys got to press beyond that barrier. Why does God want us to press beyond that barrier? He wants us to have a more intimate relationship with him. So here we have Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, that they get to go up part of the way with Moses, and they get to see the God of Israel. They get a vision, a revelation of God. They see the visible appearance of God. They see his splendor. They even eat a covenant meal in his presence. So they're enjoying and fellowshipping with God. And it was a reason for rejoicing, for celebration, for praise. Now that covenant meal would be in some ways equivalent to our communion, because our communion is a celebration of the covenant relationship that we have with God. And it represents someone who has entered into a relationship with God, a saving experience of God. But this is where they stopped. There was no lasting transformation of their lives. Encounter without transformation is not pleasing to God. You see, only a short time later, this very group, with the exception of Moses and Joshua, would be found leading the worship of a golden calf in the valley below with the rest of Israel. So their subsequent actions showed that they were not qualified to ascend to the top of the mountain to higher levels of intimacy with God. The first group saw the manifestation of God from a distance, from the other side of the valley. All they saw was God's judgment, and they feared. This second group saw God at a closer proximity. They saw his heavenly splendor, and they praised him, but they proceeded no further. Worship should transform us. It should stir a desire for change in us. It should produce an inner shift that leads us to a greater consecration and devotion to God. When we experience God and we respond by surrendering and trusting ourselves to him, it reshapes us. It reshapes our desires. It reshapes our loves. So that Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. We often misinterpret that verse and says, you know what, if we'll delight in the Lord, God will give us whatsoever our heart desires. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying that when we delight in his presence, when we spend time in his presence, when we find joy in his presence, he begins to change our heart's desires. He places his desires in our heart, turning our heart away from lesser desires and lesser pursuits to him as the only true source of life, joy, meaning, and hope. But some people today are like this second group. They're saved. They may attend worship services. They may even have some experiences of God, but they go no further. There's no surrender. There's no consecration of life. There's no transformation. But yet God is calling us up higher. But the higher we go, the more we have to die to self. The flesh cannot enter in to the holy presence of God. Third level, few will hear and answer God's call to go up higher. This is the third level of intimacy with God. And we read Exodus 24, verses 12 through 14. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. Stay there, and I will give you the tablets of stone on which I have inscribed the instructions and commands so you can teach the people. So Moses and his assistant Joshua set out, and Moses climbed up the mountain of God. Moses told the elders, "Stay here and wait for us until we come back." Do you notice how the numbers are thinning out? Now it's only two that go up to this higher level. And God's invitation to this higher level was based on their consecration. God knew what was in the heart of Moses and Joshua, and he also knew the heart of the rest of the group. He knew that their heart was soulish and emotional, because one minute they're ready to praise God and celebrate with him on the mountain. The next minute they're ready to lead a worship service before a golden calf. Do you know there's a lot of people that worship soulishly? It's merely at the emotional level, not at the level of their spirit, where there is deep transformation that takes place. They come, they have an emotional experience, but they don't have a spiritual experience of God. So in a short while after this group of 70 had had this time of praise on the mountain, we find them worshiping the golden calf. They are moved by whatever crowd they are with and willing to worship whatever stirs their emotions at the moment. And today a lot of people are moved by light, because a lot of our, especially the bigger churches, they have these light shows and smoke shows, and now you have to have environmental projection where you have these huge screens that wrap all the way across the front with all of these moving lights going on. And it looks beautiful. I'm not saying it's necessarily bad. But a lot of people, that's the level at which they worship. And sometimes it doesn't look much different than if they were at a secular concert with lights and smoke and all of this projection stuff, and they're jumping up and down and they're having an emotional experience at a concert. And many of them are having an emotional experience in church, but not necessarily an experience of God. And that's evident by the lack of transformation in their lives. But God invited Moses and Joshua up higher because of their heart. And the numbers really thin at this level of intimacy. Only two are qualified for inclusion in this third circle of intimacy. What was it about Joshua that qualified him for inclusion to go up higher in this level of intimacy? We find a clue later on in Joshua's experience in Exodus 33, verses 10 through 11. Listen to what it says. When Moses pitched the tent of meeting, when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and worship. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua would not depart from the tent. What does that tell you about Joshua's heart? Man, Joshua had this heart just to linger in the presence of God, just to seek God. He just wanted more and more of God. Wherever God's presence was, Joshua wanted to be there. Amen. Now, he was a busy guy because Moses was the leader of the nation, leader of 2 million people, and Joshua was his right hand. So Joshua would have a lot of responsibilities. But whenever he was able, he made his way to the tent of meeting, and he lingered long in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And he would have been present on many occasions when God spoke to Moses face to face. And so Joshua enjoyed an intimacy with God, a closeness with God that was excelled only by his leader, Moses. And although he fell short of the vision of God's glory that Moses was privileged to experience, Joshua ascended higher on the glory-covered mountain than any of the rest of Israel or the fellow leaders of the nation of Israel. Why? Was God playing favorites? No. It was because God knew Joshua's heart, and his heart was revealed by his later actions. He had a heart of faith and consecration. Remember, he was only one of two among the 12 spies that when Moses sent them into the promised land, they brought back the fruit so large that they could carry it between two men on their shoulders, saying, yes, the land is fertile, full of milk and honey. But the 10 spies said, we can't go up and take the land. It's filled with giants and walled cities, and we are like grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb stood in faith and said, we are able to go up and take the land, for our God is giving it into our hands. Amen. So Joshua had a heart of faith and consecration. Joshua had a heart of devotion and desire, as we see revealed in him tarrying or lingering in the tent of meeting in the presence of God long after even Moses had left. And his heart is what privileged him to go up higher, to experience a higher level of intimacy with God. And the fact that the numbers at this level of intimacy are so radically reduced tells us something about the willingness of people to pay the price to live at this level of intimacy with God. Now, the fourth level of intimacy, we should all desire to be in God's inner circle, though the price is high. Exodus 24, verses 15 through 17. Then Moses climbed up the mountain, and the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. I want you to see this. Moses is so enraptured in the glory cloud of God's presence. At this point, God is not even saying anything. But Moses is just enjoying the presence of God. Amen. Would we be willing to just wait 7 days without God saying anything? Or would we get restless, say, nothing's happening, I'm out of here, I got stuff to do. Amen. But Moses was just enraptured in the presence of God. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. To the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. So Moses sees this glory cloud of God's presence that welcomes him. But the people at the bottom of the mountain, they see a consuming fire. Two different perspectives. One is the splendor of God. The other perspective, they see the judgment of God. Then Moses disappeared into the cloud. As he climbed higher up the mountain, he remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The glory of the Most Holy God will either draw you closer or drive you further away. The children of Israel were driven further away because they saw a consuming fire. They feared the holiness of God. And you know, when your heart's not right, when your life's not right, you're afraid of God. You ever witness somebody and they say, I can't come to church, the ceiling would cave in or something like that, you know, because they know their heart's not right, you know, so they're not ready to come. It's like Adam and Eve, when they knew they had sinned, what'd they do? They ran and hid. You know, so when we know that something's not right in our life, that we're not living the way we ought to, the presence of God scares us and we draw away. And that's what they did. They saw consuming fire. They only saw the judgment of God. They didn't see the glory and the splendor of God. But in the same visible manifestation, Moses saw the beauty of God's holiness. And it held a wondrous attraction for him that drew him closer in worship. And Moses experienced a level of intimacy with God far above everybody else in the nation of Israel. He experienced a deeper intimacy with God. Exodus 33:11. Thus the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. That verse has always enthralled me. So I'm like, God, that's what I want. That's what I want. And I like the language. It says, used to speak. The verb tense speaks of a repeated action. So this was not a one-time event for Moses. This characterized Moses' relationship with God, that God would speak to him face to face like a man speaks to his friend. Amen. How many of you want that for your relationship with God? Hallelujah. Moses was blessed to share such intimacy with God because of his heart, because of his heart's desire. In Exodus 33:13, it says, Moses was daring enough to ask God, let me know your ways. He didn't just want to know God's works. A lot of people are interested in God's works. We like to hear about miracles and healings. We're like, God, show us your power. Show us your miracles. Show us your healing. I want a healing, God. I want a miracle. A lot of people, they're interested in the works of God. But Moses prayed, show me your ways. He wanted to know God's heart. He wanted to know the principles by which God operated. He wanted to share in God's purposes. He wanted God to reveal to him something of his own inner nature. This is how I operate. This is what I'm up to. This is what I'm doing. And when God got angry with Israel for worshiping the golden calf, Moses interceded on their behalf. And God responded, and God said, okay, Moses said, don't take us up from this place unless you go with us. God says, I'll send an angel with you. And Moses said, no, I'm not satisfied with an angel, God. I want your presence. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't take us up from this place. Just let us die in this desert because I want your presence. And when God responded to Moses' cry and promised to send his presence, Moses says, that's good, but your presence is still not enough for me, Lord. Show me your glory. And God granted Moses his desire, and he told Moses to stand on the side of the mountain, and God covered him there with his hand, and God passed by and gave Moses a glimpse of the backside of his glory. Moses couldn't see the whole thing because, you know, we're human and we just can't endure that, you know. But he just gave him that little glimpse of his passing glory. You know, many today are interested in God's works. They want God's miracles. They want God's healing. They want God's provision. But they are not interested in knowing the heart of God. They're not interested in experiencing the glory of God. But this is the key to inner circle fellowship with God. It's that desire to know his heart. It's that desire for more and more and more of him. Communion with God, experiencing God, will kindle an intensifying desire in us to know more of him. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. You know, I used to love cheesecake prior to going vegan, and it was my weakness, and I could not take just one taste, one bite, because it was so good that you want to eat the whole thing. And when we taste God, when we experience God, he is so good that we just want more and more and more of him. The closer to God you are, the closer you desire to be. Those who are disinterested are those who stand from afar and have not truly tasted of his presence, of his glory, of his goodness. As I said, Moses didn't see the full glory of God in its unveiled fullness. He only saw the afterglow as God passed by. But it says in Exodus 34:29 that when Moses came down from the mountain, his face shone, it radiated with light because of his time spent in God's presence. When you have been in God's presence, it's going to be evident to others. Our life will reflect the light, the radiance, the beauty of God's holiness to the world, and it will attract them to him. You know, our galaxy, the Milky Way, has one sun that generates light. Other planetary bodies merely reflect the sun's light. And there is one planet that is the brightest to the naked eye. It is often called the morning star or the evening star because you can see it even when the sun starts to rise in the morning or when the sun starts to set at night, at dawn and at dusk, when there's still light out there. But this body, this planetary body, is so bright that you can still see it. So it's called sometimes the morning star or the evening star, but the truth is it's not a star at all. It's actually the planet Venus. And it is so brightly visible, not just because of its size, but because of how close it is to the sun. It is the second planet from the sun. Mercury's so tiny, that's why we don't see it, but Venus is bigger, and it's closer to the sun than we are. And it radiantly reflects the light of the sun for all to see. You see, the closer you live to the glory of God, the more the world will see God in you. When you have truly been in the presence of God, your life becomes transformed. And you begin to radiate His love. You begin to radiate His joy. You begin to radiate His peace, His gentleness, His kindness, His faithfulness. And when you have been in the presence of God, you won't have to tell people how long you pray, how much Bible you read, how much you fast or speak in tongues. They're going to be able to see it because the presence of God is going to change you and permeate you, and it's going to be evident. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand from afar. I don't want to live afraid of God's presence and stand from afar, settling for a secondhand experience, saying, you go up into the presence of God and you come back and tell me what God has. No, God doesn't have to play Chinese telephone. God wants to speak to us directly. Amen. I don't want to get just a little bit closer and have a momentary experience of His presence like the 70 did when they went up partway up the mountain and they had a momentary experience of God. I don't want to even just linger in the presence of God like Joshua, but I want to stay in the presence of God like Moses. I want to dwell in the glory of His fullness. I want to abide in constant intimacy with God. I want to have God speak to me face to face like a man speaks to his friend. And I want Him to do it not just one time, but continually. And I want to be so close to Him and know Him so well and spend so much time in His presence that people will know that I have been in the presence of the Lord. What about you? What do you desire for your spiritual walk? Which level of intimacy do you want to live in? Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are a God who desires to come down, to make Yourself manifest to Your people, and to speak to Your people, Lord. You want us to have a firsthand experience of You, not just occasionally, but regularly. Father, I pray that we won't be like Israel that draws back and stands from afar. I pray that we won't even be like the 70 who are satisfied with momentary experiences of Your glory. But I pray that we will be like Joshua, who wants to go up higher, who wants to linger in Your presence. And even more so, I pray that we would be like Moses, who wants to stay where You are, who wants to know Your ways, who wants to see Your glory, and who experiences such intimacy that You spoke to him face to face. Lord, draw us closer to You. And when You say to us, seek My face, may our soul respond, Your face will I seek, O God. Father, let us go up higher and let us draw nearer, so that we can live in deeper intimacy with You, and so that Your presence can radiate through us and bring transformation around us to the people we encounter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you, New Life. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and go up higher.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.